Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy. Tonight, you're with Beck, you're with Bree, and you're with me, Motty.
Woohoo! Hello, Motty.
Hello, ladies. And we've got master panellist Gaz.
The best
on
in the biz.
Board. He is
on the buttons.
Best.
He's on the buttons.
We also have to thank the wonderful Sarah for her fabulous news broadcast. I can't recall a better one in my whole time here at Joy, so.
Yeah, what? Exactly.
Yeah, that's, you know.
She has been to the school of Gaz.
She has. Okay, on we go. Footy. Who wants to talk about it?
We do.
Okay. We got to talk about round 20.
Oh,
we've got
my
to talk
God.
About Andrew Gaff's suspension.
Oh.
We've got to talk about AFLW fixture. We've got an interview with LGBTI advocate and Sydney Swans lover, Matt Jansen.
Bree and I have got a story from the footy on Friday
you
night.
You have. That's leading the dinner table chat, isn't it?
And a celebrity tipster.
Well, it's, I believe, the matriarch of one of Adelaide's finest footballing families. Would that be right to
yeah,
say?
Yeah, you would say that. You
yeah,
would say that.
Celebrity tipster Anne
If not
Dahl.
In skill, in passion.
I've announced it now. People
yep.
will start queuing up.
Oh,
Anne
they will.
Dahl will be our celebrity tipster this week.
It's exciting.
Yes. So, speaking of exciting, shall we get straight into it? Round 20, Friday night.
What a round it was.
Now, Floating Breezer would have been pleased with the
oh
Friday night game.
A dream result for Floating Breezer.
For sure. So, look, you guys, I know something happened at the game, but we're going to save that incident to talk a bit later on. But just in terms of the game itself, talk me through it.
Breezer, are Richmond unbeatable? Discuss.
No, we're not. And if everyone had heard Chris Scott's post-match press conference, he said that we weren't unbeatable.
I was confused by that from a man whose team had just been beaten
yes,
by Richmond,
exactly.
But nonetheless.
Nonetheless. It was a good game. I thought Richmond controlled large parts of it, but Geelong just kept coming back at us. So they just never gave up. And, it was close in the end. And in fairness, Geelong had a chance to win.
I was quite impressed by Geelong because I don't actually think I've given them much credit this year. I just kind of almost felt like they were a bit making up the numbers. But they had a good win. I mean, they're ninth now, so they're closing in on the eight. But they were very competitive for a team that's pretty hard to beat.
Well, and they're a team like Sydney have been in at times that surprise people. They're always, you know, thereabouts. But that was the first of our, you know, 3-point games.
Yes.
Mm.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, extraordinary round, wasn't it? Okay, then we go to Saturday. The Bombers were beaten 4 points by the Bloody Hawks.
Now,
how did you feel? Yeah, how did you feel? You went to this one, Motty.
I did go to the game and I love the G. I love the whole thing about it. But I just did not feel confident from – I didn't feel confident before, but after about quarter time I was like, no. They're better. Stratton in the back line just marked everything, and we just couldn't. And when they got the ball to the forward line, it was a quick goal. Whereas we were just on and on and on. No, it was disappointing. Really, there was our back line didn't stand up the way it has in the past. Tom Mitchell got 40 something.
And now with that loss, Motty, I know probably you're still a mathematical chance, but. How do you see the season overall for the Bombers?
In terms of whether it's been a success or not? Probably I'd call it a success because I think they to imagine that we could get three new guys in and have some people leave and stuff and succeed straight away, it was probably a bit pie in the sky. So after a galvanising year like this, they'll be set for next year, hopefully.
Excellent.
Devin Smith's probably the recruit of the year.
I would think so.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's
really
been
has been incredible.
Hasn't he?
And Saad's been great in the second half.
And even Stringer, who I don't have 3 seconds for, has been not bad either.
I know. That's what Fee said to me. She goes, oh, so you've changed your tune on Stringer, Motty.
Oh, well. People can change.
So then we rolled into...
another 3-point game.
I picked Brisbane last week too. I thought, you know what? They could just do this and they nearly did.
What is it with players wanting to go around their body when they're like 15 metres out from goal? Like, I don't understand the check side when you should be kicking a drop punt.
Because it's cool.
It's cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I've got. I don't know.
All right. So FYI, Cam Rayner, not cool that you missed it.
Oh, but poor Cam Rayner. But how much did we love Papa Coach Fagan putting his arm around him and just saying, oh, all right, mate.
Yeah.
I always feel sorry for that person who misses a goal or whatever it is in the last game because I think, you know what, there was bloody four quarters before that where many other people on the team could have done many other things. I always think it's incredibly unfair to be that one person who everyone remembers that's how the game was or wasn't won.
I heard on the radio yesterday that he had it happened again earlier in the year in another game.
Yeah, right.
And he had an opportunity. So, and he's missed twice.
Oh, that's interesting.
But as they explain, he's also kicked loads of clutch goals. And apparently they don't really care, Brisbane, because they want him for 10 years, not 1 week or 2 weeks or stuff. Yeah. Apparently he's just unbelievable.
I reckon Brisbane next year are going to shoot up that
ladder. Well, I want to ask the question, does it say more about Brisbane or more about North Melbourne, that result?
I reckon North Melbourne are pretenders.
They just let you down, North. They would be the most difficult team to barrack for, wouldn't they?
They really would.
They're on the same points as Geelong, aren't they, Beck?
They are, yes. Geelong and North Melbourne both on 44. Just
do we think North is going to make the finals?
No, I do not.
No, not on. I don't know. I think they're a team you can't trust.
Yep.
Okay. You know, you just I would never know whether they're going to win or not. That's why I usually don't tip them because. Could go anywhere. Okay, on over to you, my friend.
Next game was the showdown.
Showdown. Sorry.
Crows and Port, another 3-point game. Controversially won by the Crows in the last couple of minutes with a goal from Josh Jenkins. I watched more camera angles than a person probably should have that goal, and I cannot for the life of me work out what it is. It was called a goal. If you look at another angle, it looks exactly like it hit the post, but then there's another angle where it looks like it goes through. Jenkins said after the game, "Grandma told me never to lie, and I don't think it was a goal," but it doesn't matter what Josh Jenkins thinks. It matters what the umpire thinks.
How funny that he said that.
I know.
Well, but I suppose if that's who you are as a person, that's kind of refreshing to hear that.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's like, well, I'm not going to go up. I'm not Adam Gilchrist and I'm going to walk.
Correct.
But you know what? I actually think the goal review system actually got this one right.
Yeah, I do too.
It was not conclusive enough to overturn the umpire's
call. Exactly. So then you say umpire's call.
Umpire's call.
And whatever, sucked in Port, we won.
Yeah.
Anyway, next game, 2-point game, Swans and Collingwood.
No, well, you jumped over the 35-point game.
Actually, before we get on to that, can Port finish top four now or have they blown their chance?
48 for 9. Oh.
Well, their percentage is terrible.
Do they deserve top four?
No. Oh, I'm the wrong person.
Yeah, I was going to say, Beck's going to say no regardless.
I don't think they deserve to be in the competition. Anyway, I reckon mathematically they can be just trying to do my four times tables.
Okay. All right. Good one. Okay. So next game was St Kilda versus Bulldogs. I actually watched this one. Did anyone watch this one?
No. Well, Bree, I didn't even want to talk about it, so clearly not.
Okay. Well, I watched this one and St Kilda were leading by about 30-odd points, like 36 points, something like that. And then Bontempelli just turned this game on its head, kicked four goals in the third quarter and
he's not away a bad went, player, is he, Bontempelli?
Yeah, away went the Bulldogs after half time, and prior to this game, they've been terrible after half time.
Mm.
So it was a really bad loss by St Kilda. Pathetic, in fact. Sorry, Mikey.
Well, they're total heartbreakers, St Kilda, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They'd be really the other team you would never want to support. Sorry, Mikey Cole.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. Mikey is enough support for everyone, Mikey that's gives, right. Doesn't he? Now, Swans won by 2.
Yeah. What does that mean? Nothing.
Do they deserve it or what? What's
I'm over Sydney.
I love Sydney.
No, I'm over.
I'm pleased they won. Buddy was on fire, kicked 6 goals. And surprise, surprise, Collingwood lost another defender to a hamstring injury.
They got their hamstring bloke must be the same one from the Crows. Cause
it's a real problem, isn't
it? Real problem.
I'd be furious if I was a coach. We're going to take the rest of these games over into the next seg and have a chat about them then. So you can contact us on air@joy.org.au if you want to send us a message or 0427JOY949.
I'm Rory from Minus 18 and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Getaroom.com.au. Whether you're playing a home game or away, find the perfect place to stay. Chicks Talking Footy on Joy, proudly sponsored by Getaroom.com.au.
You're on Chicks Talking Footy, and tonight you're with Moddy, Beck and Breezer. And we're going to continue the wrap-up of round 20.
Weren't the Sunday games a disappointment after Saturday?
They sure were.
I mean, they were vastly
one-sided,
vastly one-sided, yeah. I mean,
GWS beat Carlton by what, 100 and... Oh, I can't do maths.
Five.
A lot. GWS are coming good at the right time, aren't they?
They've copped a couple of key injuries again, though.
Deledio out.
Yeah.
But they copped injuries earlier in the season and they
Green's
managed,
out
so...
Green's out again. Toby Green out again.
Green out again for a couple of weeks. And Dawson Simpson's done for the year.
And they've given up on Scully. He's out for the year now, they've said.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They said that today, I think. Today or yesterday. And the Suns were absolutely thumped by Melbourne.
I didn't see one minute of that game.
No.
So well, Melbourne's, why would you? Melbourne's up to fourth on the ladder now, so their supporters must be chomping at the bit.
Mm.
They went a bit quiet, though, didn't they? Because you know how Melbourne sort of started the year super well and were winning everything and then had that bad patch and the Melbourne, those, you know, show-offs started to...
Well, I thought they were going to drop out the eight, Melbourne, but they're doing well.
Well, they've kicked through the quarters, like, so they kicked 5-5 in the last quarter.
They've got a tough run to come home.
Yeah.
They've got probably the toughest run.
You know, for me, I don't care either way if Melbourne are in.
Oh, okay.
I'd be happy if they missed it, actually, but they're not going to.
So what you really think?
Yeah, now, Eagles thumped is one way of putting it. Eagles 142 versus Dockers 84. That game really has only got one thing that's come out of it, hasn't it?
Exactly, and we're going to talk about that very shortly.
So now, dinner table chat.
Welcome to the table.
Welcome.
Yes.
This is the time of the show, Chicks, where we like to serve up some footy issues as part of our dinner chat, don't we?
Correct. Well, I'm going to start with entree.
Thank you, Beck.
So entree is a little incident that happened on Friday night when Bree and I were at the footy, the Richmond and Geelong game. We were in a box sort of situation, Richmond little club, social area. There was me and Bree and Dave, our good friend of the show, watching the footy, and there was a group of men next to us. Anyway, about halfway through the first quarter, one of the men decided to yell out to one of the players on the field, "Oh, yeah, poof." And I thought, in this moment, you know, there's a couple of things you can do. But I thought, no, I'm going to say something. So I just turned to him very politely and said to him, "Can we not with the homophobic slurs?" Well, the whole lot of them just turned on me, didn't they, Bree?
They really were yelling.
One of the guys said to me, "It's in the dictionary. I can say whatever I like if it's in the dictionary." And I was like, oh, great. Good argument. One of them pointed to the ottoman in front of him and said, "He wasn't talking about a person. He was talking about the poof." Clever.
What? Who brings an ottoman to the
We're in a fancy
footy
area, Bree. Moddy.
Yeah.
Were you seriously?
Yeah.
That was fancy. Furniture.
Yeah. Anyway, so this went on, this yelling, and I thought, you know what, bugger this. The MCG says report antisocial behaviour. So I went and spoke to security. They called the ground security, who came over and did absolutely nothing. I was really, really disappointed. They kind of just stood around and looked. And then as soon as the security walked off, one of the bloke's friends got up right with his finger in my face and said, "Did you call security, you effing idiot?" And I said, "Yeah, I did actually, and I'm going to call it again if you don't stop."
Did you feel unsafe? I know that sounds an obvious question.
I did a bit. What did you, Bree?
When their language turned toward us.
Yeah.
When they knew it wasn't anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it really just then for the whole game, there was just this really – they were really aggressive.
Yeah.
They just kept glaring at us and making little comments
over.
And it just kept going. Anyway, in the end, I can't exactly remember, but one of them said something near the end which was just – got really aggressive. And so I thought, well, I've set a precedent now. I went and got security again. And then it just – turned into this sort of mob mentality where what was so disappointing was there was all these other people that weren't even involved were coming and yelling at us and like yelling at me and Dave, "You're not even from this club. You shouldn't even be in there." And I said, "Yeah, no, I'm glad I'm not."
What do you mean? People that weren't even their friends?
No, yeah, just random. Mm. So not one person...
Whoa. That's
was
all.
On our side.
No.
Like, not one person suggested that behaviour was not okay.
Yeah.
They were all just this mob mentality.
Trying to justify
that what he said was okay.
Yep.
And in the
that's awful.
In the end, the police came and it all got a bit crazy. But I was so disappointed that after all the work that Richmond is one of the clubs, particularly like they sponsor Midsummer, they do a lot of support for the LGBTI community, that they've still got these absolute ignorant, bigoted supporters who think that kind of language is okay. I was disappointed that these guys had teenage kids with them and that's the kind of example they're setting for
and
their
the
kids.
And the language that they were using.
Yep.
Yep.
And I was really disappointed that there was not one person in that room that was on our side.
No, so you're sort of in a private room. It's not sitting out. Yeah. Oh, that is.
Yeah, like behind glass and.
And to be quite frank, horrendous. I was really disappointed by the security as well because they just did nothing.
So, Beck, are you writing a letter?
I'm going to be writing a letter, Monty, because I just think you can't put all these signs up around the ground saying we don't. And one of the MCG workers said to me, we don't tolerate homophobia. And later on I thought about that and I thought, well, you haven't kicked this guy out. So clearly you actually tolerate homophobia. So it was really, I mean, I've heard about these incidents happening at the footy before, but it was a little bit kind of shocking to, you know. And there was part of me that later on thought, oh, should I have not said anything? Should I have just let it go? And then I thought, no. Like, I felt like it was important to call
him out.
Good on
you for having
–
I mean, that's courage to do that. Really it is. And that's one of the things we all talk about, isn't it? You know, you do need courage. I don't know if I would have had it in your circumstance because you know that – the likely reaction is the reaction you got.
It's but like
a mob mentality.
It's like casual racism.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
No one understands it until you actually point it out.
Exactly. Yeah. So, look, I think and it was funny, one of his mates came and tried to have a chat with me at half time and I was sort of explaining to him and I put it in the context of, you know, like if you – because he was saying that apparently the guy who said it, his brother's gay. And he said, oh, but he calls himself a poof. And I said – well, that's lovely. He's allowed to do that. That's his prerogative. But that doesn't mean that that word is okay for other people to use. And he sort of, by the end, this guy sort of understood it. But I just thought, oh, my God, we've still got such a long way to go.
Such a long way to go. We have indeed.
Anyway, that was pretty
well, there's your entree. That's
an entree. Well,
certainly a large plate of entree there. What about the main, Breezer?
The main has three parts to it tonight.
Well, this is more like a degustation, this dinner table.
Fancy.
Yeah. So let's talk about Andrew Gaff and his 8-week suspension.
Yes.
Was it about right? Too lenient or too excessive?
So for those who may have been under a rock, Andrew Gaff from the West Coast hit Andrew Brayshaw from the Dockers, broke his jaw, he lost 5 teeth. All sorts of things, and was suspended last night for 8 weeks.
What do we think of the suspension?
Look, I'm in three different minds about this whole situation. In one mind, I say, look, according to footy standards, that's according to footy standards about what people get suspended for that. But then I think according to standards of society, if he'd walked up to him on the street and done that to him, there's a fair chance he would have been facing jail time. So I kind of have two different views on it. The other thing I have two different views on is there's a lot of chat about, you know, he's a good bloke, he's a nice bloke, this kind of good guy defence. And part of me sort of prescribes to that and says, you know, well, do people need to get their whole lives, you know, ruined because of one incident? Mm. But then someone at work at my lunch table today, we were talking about it, and he said, yeah, but would you have the same view if he had punched his partner in the face? And everyone was saying, but he's a good bloke. And I thought that's really interesting. Like, do you compartmentalise violence if it's on the field or off the field?
Yes.
Mm.
I think you do. I think very much. I mean, I struggle with the concept of is it a criminal act that deserves criminal punishment? You know, does it become a police situation? Mm. I don't think you can. I think there's a justice system in place for that covers
the
field. Which
is the way the police view it, too.
Yeah, which is, I think... Unless you can't just change it as a one-off. I think it was odd when they did that to Lee Matthews. That was really strange, you know, all those years ago. But he went to hit him.
Yeah.
He just missed his chest. So that's what you've got to strike out, I think. You've got to strike out that rubbishy punching of chests that everyone's doing and that constant scragging and then you don't get the supposed mistakes that Gaff
I mean, the thing that
Gaff.
I listened to this morning was Andrew Brayshaw's dad. I heard him on the radio this morning, and that man, like, he'd called Andrew Gaff's dad because he was really worried about him, and he said, "Look, you know," he said, "I've watched the vision, and maybe he, like, his son Andrew dropped his knees a bit, and he wasn't trying to hit him in the face, and all these kind of things." And he said, "You know, you gotta just get on with things." And I thought, well, you know, maybe if he can forgive him, I should forgive Andrew Gaff. I don't know.
What do you think, Breeza?
I thought the sentence was about right. The interesting part for me was the character references. Bashir Hawley's suspension last year kind of set the precedent that good character doesn't come into it.
Mm.
So he hit the bloke. You serve the time.
I think it's very unusual that for a man of 26 who's been in a workplace, we'll call footy a workplace and field and la 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 for, say, 8 years at least, his school principal is called to speak. I mean,
that's weird.
Who gives a stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, oh, great. He was fantastic when he was 16. No bearing on it at all.
And you know what? Sometimes good people do bad things.
Yeah. One thing that you just touched on, Bec, that I found interesting, like, with the Brayshaw, the father, being so forgiving, and whether, like, I just keep coming back to, would he be so forgiving if it happened out on the street?
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't. No.
So there's this real, what happens on the field stays on the field.
But if it happened on the street, there wouldn't be the, well, hang on, he was trying to hit him in the chest, they'd been niggling each other, you know, maybe he did drop his, you know, it's not a combative.
Maybe it is. It could be, though. Those king hits, you know, when blokes or humans have been drinking, you know, out on the street and they niggle each other and then, you know, what?
I feel so sorry for that poor boy, for Andrew. That must have just hurt like hell, mustn't it?
Oh,
the shock as well, not expecting something like that.
I know.
And also, he's in his first year. He's a kid. He's 18.
What else I heard today? His mum had to have hypnotherapy to watch Angus, her other son, play because of his concussions.
Oh, yeah.
She'd got so distressed watching him play that she had hypnotherapy. So I think poor love, she's going to have some more of that.
Wow.
And she was there.
She was there, yeah.
One, the third part to this scenario is that Gaff's out of contract. So does the suspension influence his decision whether he stays or goes?
His decision or other clubs?
Well, both.
Both.
What do you think is going to play out there?
I don't think it's going to make a difference.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it'll make a difference. I think it'll make a difference to West Coast fortunes in the...
I agree.
..for the season. But, there's the main done. I'd say. Now, quickly, just a little slice of dessert for you. I went to the football with Fiona from Chicks Talking Footy. You may know of her.
Heard of her.
Also our friend Vetti, who's a Hawk, and two other Hawks. And I sat in with the Hawk section.
Wow.
You know, the special Hawk section, whatever. And, you know, Fee had kindly got us tickets from one of her friends. I did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's very weird to sit in the middle of something that is so unbelievably one-sided. And I may be the same if it was, you know, if it was the reverse, but it was like there was no other team.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's not fun at all. And then it's, you know, 4 points at the end and you're just like, oh, don't play that bloody song
one
more time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So it's the company, of course, was amazing.
Of course.
Of course. The beverages and the chips and the pies, you know, exemplary. But, yeah.
Not for you, Monty.
No, I just don't think I can do it.
One day as a Crow supporter, I went to a Port home game at a showdown. That was a scary experience for me.
You went to a what?
Port home game showdown.
Oh, God.
And you know me, I'm not a wallflower, so I thought it was fine to cheer loudly. And, yeah, my friends around me didn't like that.
Really? Mm. Well, listen, that's the end of the dinner table chat.
Well, I'm full.
It's a good one tonight. And really, let's face it, we could have gone 8 courses, but we've got other stuff to talk about. After the break, we're going to have a chat to Matt Jansen, LGBTI advocate, about all sorts of stuff.
GetARoom.com.au. Whether you're playing a home game or away, find the perfect place to stay. Chicks Talking Footy on Joy, proudly sponsored by GetARoom.com.au.
You are listening to Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Beck and I'm here with Moddy and Bree tonight. On the line, we have our very special guest. We're pleased to welcome to the show President of Wear It Purple, Field of Women participant and Sydney Swans fanatic, Matt Jansen. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
We're good.
We're great, Matt. Thanks for jumping on the line.
My pleasure.
Now, let's start with Saturday's match between Melbourne and Sydney, which is known as the Breast Cancer Network Australia's Field of Women event. Tell us just how you got involved in that and why is it so close to your heart?
I participated in the four Field of Women events so far, and I have to say the first two was really, it was about that they were on at AFL venues and, getting to those because of the football. But in 2010, my mum, my sister and I did it. And the awareness that was created from that event and the conversation around the dinner table was my auntie went and had her screening test. And, a couple of days later, she's in hospital. She got diagnosed with breast cancer. And, she's a survivor now. And we're going down on Sunday. She'll be on the oval with me on Sunday. So, it's going to be really special. It's emotional, but just the power of that awareness, I know that it saves lives. It helps save the life of someone that I love.
I mean, it is extraordinary, isn't it, that you've had that direct connection to it and it, it came straight out of that day.
Yeah, and I think it just shows that these really big headline awareness events do actually matter, because the first time I did it, I saw there's 150-odd men in blue ponchos and 18,000 people with pink ponchos. You learn that men also get breast cancer. And, just the power of those events, it certainly helped save the life of someone. Yeah, as I said, I love. But, now it's sort of, I just want to keep doing it to raise awareness that, it's important.
Matt, it's fantastic that the Swans are involved, and I know that you love the Swans. LGBTI inclusion in sport is something that you're passionate about. Tell us what the Swans do in that space.
Yeah, so the Swans obviously do a lot of things in their diversity action plan, and one of those pillars is LGBTI inclusion. So, I certainly feel, welcome at the club. It's often called the culture club, and obviously they're big supporters with the pride game and all of that around that. But the Swans reached out hearing that I was doing the Field of Women and they're really shining a light on that as well. So for me, it's a fantastic club to be, to be around, and then to see them, really doing things with the pride game and now Field of Women along with Melbourne is just really powerful, and you feel proud to be a fan and a member of a club like the Sydney Swans.
Well, Matt, you're a huge footy fan, but you recently wrote an article in the Star Observer talking about, I guess, walking away from playing footy when you were younger because you were gay. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of writing the article that sort of hits home. I mean, I guess some people say I may not have had the talent that I needed either, but, it was just the environment. Like, I knew that I could play football, but it was often the environment outside of, not on the football field, that you just didn't feel welcome. The boys doing their things, and, I didn't understand at the time that it's that sort of hyper-masculinity of, I knew that I didn't fit into that, and I found it, I found it that I couldn't bring my whole self to the game. So, the other thing, just on the field, I think you were talking before around some languages at the football, and often, it's the language that happens on the field that, you shouldn't have to be on the football field and turn around and go, that's actually not right. You can't stop the game and do it. But, so I think that clubs have come a long way and sports come a long way. But, from what I hear and what people have told me as well, I'm not the only one to just feel that you're not included, so you don't continue.
That must have been a huge decision for you to do that, because, as Beck said when she mentioned this topic, that you You're clearly a lover of football. You're passionate about it. You love the inclusion that a club can bring. So did you really wrestle with it?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of it was probably the coaching bit that was harder. I was coaching junior football at one of the SANFL clubs in Adelaide, and I just think you know that there's those conversations of, you know, is it right for a gay man to be coaching? You know, it just was more the conversations around you that you start to question, is it right? And, you know, do I have the energy to sort of push through that, I guess? It was a tough one, but, you know, that's why I love the footy, I think, even more now. When you do feel really welcome, you jump on board and you can bring your whole self to the game. I think that's where your passion comes into it. You know, I was passionate about it before, but you're living half a life.
Now, Matt, as we mentioned at the top of the segment, you are the president of Wear It Purple. Can you tell us a little bit about that organisation?
Yeah, so Wear It Purple was founded in 2010. It was really founded in a school in Sydney, and it was really in response to, young LGBTI people taking their own life, ending their life because of the bullying and harassment. So we're a not-for-profit. We really encourage everyone to wear purple on the 31st of August, so the last Friday of August every year. And it's really about building inclusive, safe environments for young rainbow people. So lots of initiatives planned. We've got landmarks across the country are going to be lit up. The support across schools and corporate is just quite incredible. We've got the three towers down at Barangaroo in Sydney are going to be lit up. Adelaide Oval over in Adelaide and the Riverbank Precinct in Melbourne, the Melbourne Town Hall and a few other things. So, you know, visibly it's going to be big. And then obviously, you know, there's huge, just the conversation that comes with it, isn't it?
And what can people do to get involved? I mean, I gather there's a fundraising element to it, or you'd like donations, or how does, if, you know, people listening would like to get involved in a day like that, what do they do?
Yeah, well, the first thing, and importantly, the reason that it's such a fantastic, it's an easy way to support is wear some purple. Whether you're at school, uni, in the office, wear some purple, because visibly, you know, that starts and creates some awareness. Have conversations at the office and at school around, inclusion and celebrating diversity. The other thing is, you know, you can jump onto the Wear It Purple website, order some merchandise. We've got shirts and wristbands and all those things to help, add some purple to people's wardrobes. And there's some really important resources there as well that people can download and use to share their own events. So, and then obviously a fundraising side of that is we have just launched a GoFundraise page, and you can donate through our website, because that helps us ensure that the merchandise is affordable for everybody. And, you know, into next year, we've got a really big event in Sydney and Brisbane this year. We'd really love to be able to have, an official event, right across in every capital city and some of the larger regional towns.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, Matt, just before you go, tell us, Sydney, just sitting inside the eight, where do they finish?
I find it a lot easier just to keep believing. And every time I've sort of had that 5% doubt of, are they right? They probably had that little bit of doubt on the weekend and they came good. Geelong, look, I think they'll make it. They've got to win two of the next three. But I know just from being around the club, the culture that it is, that, you know, some might doubt, but the inner sanctum, there's just this belief that we're going to be there. And, you know, as a supporter, I tend to be 100% on the support, and the rest will take care of itself. But it's going to be close.
Well, as the great band Journey said, Matt, don't stop believing. Thank you very much for joining us on Chicks Talking Footy tonight, Matt Jazen. Great to catch up.
My pleasure.
Cheers. Bye.
Thanks so much. He's a busy man, that Matt Jansen.
Did you enjoy my little Journey reference?
Yeah. I mean, I can't even believe someone even couldn't quote Journey.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, isn't it?
It's embarrassing in some
just
ways.
Just a small town girl living I liked, in a lonely world.
I like Glee's take on that song.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was anyway, good. Back to the footy.
Right. Okay, yeah. Sorry, footy, of course. Hey, there's a bit of AFLW stuff bubbling around as well. You know, they're trialling some rules. Is it next weekend?
Bubbling around. It's exploding, Moddy.
Yeah.
Exploding.
Yeah. And so there's the rules that, you know, they're testing in some of the VFLW matches, but then there's also the discussions around the season length and things like that.
Which we still don't have an answer on, the season length.
No, they're still debating some options, aren't they, Beck?
Well, I wonder, because obviously we all got a little bit in uproar about the commentary, I guess, that the season was going to be reduced, which is utterly ridiculous. But I'm not sure, like, did that leak out from somewhere? Sometimes I think the AFL sends out things they know people aren't going to like just to see how we react.
That is my – I came across that thought today as well, on my own as well, which was amazing.
Mm.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought they've put that out because if you look at the group of people that they've got on their advisory committee, that is some very willing discussion would be taking place. Simone Wilkie, Nicole Livingston, Steve Hocking, etc. And then there's Lauren Arnell and Cara Dunellan and Peter Searle and Debbie Lee and Laura Kane. I mean, those names are not going to just lie down and let it all.
I agree.
One thing that doesn't sit comfortably though. And I'm not sure if it's out in the media or whatever, but like the viewpoint that the women's season is competing with the men's season, like why can't we just coexist?
Exactly.
Like why can't one season complement the other or just coexist? Like I've been looking at my calendar, trying to figure out ways to fit 9 games into a season plus 2 finals.
But why don't they start it earlier? What does it matter if it's in mid-January up against the tennis?
Yeah.
Or Craig Starcevich, the Brisbane coach, his view is it should start in November to January.
Yeah, I quite like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, why can't we look at those options? I'm sure, you know, the committee, they need to consider all options because my viewpoint is if we are expanding it should mean exactly that.
And I'm expansion. With Daisy Pierce. Don't make it a Mickey Mouse competition.
That's
These
right.
are serious professional athletes.
Do it properly.
I just think
that backflip's just so wrong from them.
I agree.
You are with Chicks Talking Footy with Moddy, Beck and Bree and like to hear from you on air at joy.org.au.
Getaroom.com.au. Whether you're playing a home game or away, find the perfect place to stay. Chicks Talking Footy on Joy, proudly sponsored by getaroom.com.au.
This is Pat Miller, the president of the Blue Roos, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You are with Chicks Talking Footy, and we're very lucky to have that new sponsor, Get a Room. And
we are.
With a beautifully voiced
Thank
ad
you.
There.
I'm very good at ads.
So if you are travelling anytime soon, getaroom.com.au.
Whether it's a home game or away.
Oh, well done, Beck.
Well done, Beck.
Now, my friends, last week I was on the show with Fee and Rachel and we talked about some questions that came out of the Herald Sun's fan survey.
Yes.
So there's plenty more. So I thought, why don't we do a few and see what you think? So they asked, 25 questions or something and we did a few, as I said. So here's one. Who is the best value recruit of 2018? So it's all out of 100%, right? Who would you think?
Oh, I would say Devon Smith.
That's what I was going to say.
33% agree with you.
Is that the highest?
He was the number. Yeah, that's what everyone said. It's the best sort of value recruit. Second, Luke Hodge.
Wow. Fiona will be pleased.
No, I agree. I think that has been – I think he and Chris Fagan have made a huge change to the fortunes of the Brisbane Lions.
And I think now I'm going to – because first I went, because Luke Hodge. But now I think about it, I think he's been a great recruit more in a coaching capacity than what he's bought on field.
Yeah, I think I think it's been exceptional.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Clever. Bryce Gibbs.
Oh, yeah. How did I forget about him?
Yeah, he's so Devon was 33, Luke Hodge 21% and Bryce Gibbs 11%.
I mean, Bryce Gibbs cut off his man bun though when he arrived, which I've got issues with. But nonetheless, he has been a good addition, actually played very well on the weekend.
Did you want the man bun?
I love the man bun.
But did you see that photo of him with his hair out?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, I love it.
Did you?
You know I love long
hair.
Did
not look good.
You know I've got that Brody Grundy sort of thing. And
can we get back onto the field?
I like Phil Brody Davis Grundy. And his man bun.
I'm a fan of Brody Grundy's, I've got to say.
Mm.
He might have taken over for my new best player.
All right. From who?
Well, I announced about 2 weeks ago that it was Buddy, and then I've gone off that idea.
So. Grundy's amazing.
Anyway. So now there's the new judicial system with Michael Christian.
Yes.
As the solo man. Do we think it's a good thing? Has it been working?
I don't think the judiciary's ever made much sense in AFL, so I have no firm views on the topic.
I think it has. I think some of the decisions have been a bit more consistent. What I don't like is, like, getting up in front of, like, the AFL media and then explaining every decision.
That he does that?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a bit me.
Seen, not heard, you think?
Oh. Yeah. Well, I think you can just put out a press statement and that's it.
Okay.
I like I like the fact that the decisions are made throughout the weekend.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait till Monday or Tuesday.
True.
And because what it also does is it takes the wind out of the media's sails.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, you know, done, move on. Well, you'll be pleased to hear that 59% of people feel that, no, it has not provided greater clarity, and 41% say yes.
Okay.
Close.
Okay, here's one. And timely. Do you support a red card send-off system for violent acts?
Yes.
Yes. But for violent acts, it actually, like, you would need strict criteria as to when a red card system was awarded.
I've got a criteria.
Yep. Mm.
If the injured player can't come back on, then you get a red card.
Yes, good. Good.
Yeah, that, because it, how do you
because
do
it's
that?
Like one-off is my view.
And they, you know, some people are saying, well, if you don't see it, you can't use video review and how.
Oh yeah, because then I'm going to argue against myself because I'm going to say like they have to have time to do concussion tests and stuff, so you can't red card automatically.
No, that's right. Mm. So it's quite a murky thing. It would take a lot. I do, and I agree with it because I think there can be situations where someone does something on purpose to hurt and the opposition's star player. Not saying that this, you know, is what Gaff did, but. And they sacrifice their own game, whereas if they get thrown out, off, you know, 20 minutes, even if it's 20 minutes in a sin bin.
Yeah. Sin bin might be a better option. What do the people say in the survey?
Well, they say they're probably a bit more articulate than I have been on the topic. So the people say yes to 52% and no to 48. But
that's close.
But remember, it is before the Gaff thing. I reckon they probably say it would be 70-30
now.
Yeah,
but there's equally been precedent before Gaff. There's been Barry Hall. There's been Basher Hawley. There's been a couple of Thomas Bug whacking Callum Mills.
Unfortunate name for Basher Hawley, wasn't it, when he was involved?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is another interesting one. Do you like the idea of a mid-season trade or draft period?
Yes.
No.
Oh, do you know we're doing a radio show, you two? You can't just do one-word answers.
I think it would be entertaining. I think it would add some spice and excitement. I like it. I'm all for controversy, though. You know that.
Yeah, Beck likes to be a controversial character. No, I don't like it. I'm a loyalist, and I don't want to see my players traded mid-season to another club. No. Mm.
I like
it. Wait until the end.
No, 55%. Yes, 45%.
Interesting.
This was not one of the 25 questions, but... do you like the concept of your player saying, I'm moving clubs?
Yes.
Mid-season.
Let's all just own up, be honest.
Yeah, I don't mind them coming out and saying it, but not doing anything about it until the season's end.
Interesting. I'm all for saying it straight up.
Same. I mean, it's a professional game now.
Like, you can say it, but it's not going to happen until season's end.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. They're two separate
questions. I think someone being honest and saying it is going to be far less distracting for the club than conjecture for a whole season.
Yes,
Because
agree.
That makes it worse. That's underhand and there's, you know, people are dancing, boxing at shadows or whatever you call it. Just be adults and go, yep, I'm leaving.
I agree.
Yeah.
And you know the whole Tom Lynch thing? He's been there for 8 years. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
He didn't choose to go there in the first place.
He's not doing anything that he's not allowed to do.
Clubland can't have their cake and eat it too.
Thank you, Bree. Exactly. Now, did you know that there was also a coaches survey?
Yes, I did.
Footy
Record.
Yes,
I did.
Which I've got in front of me here. And one of the questions I thought was really interesting was, what is the ideal number of matches per season?
And what do the coaches say?
Well, 12.5% say leave it as it is.
Mm-hmm. That's low.
25% say each 17 games and each plays each other once, obviously. 62.5% say 18 games, so it's play each other once and then a second, you know, either the showdown or derby or grudge match or one of those things. So you play.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. That hasn't even been in the discussions I had.
No, well, if the AFL listened to their coaches, Motti, this mm-hmm. is where the AFLW can fit in. Because if we reduce...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good point.
If everyone wants the men's season to be reduced and the women's season to expand, we can coexist.
Yay!
And here's the other thing. 16 of the 18 coaches completed the survey. Who do we think didn't?
Oh,
that's not one of the actual questions, by the way.
Wow. 16 of the 18. Who didn't? Who wouldn't have completed a survey?
I reckon...
The Scott brothers.
Oh, the Scott brothers. Yeah, they would have called each other and been like, are you doing this stupid survey? Yeah.
No, I'm not doing it either.
Yeah,
Scott brothers. Yeah, fair enough too.
And they seem like naughty kids.
Yeah.
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 God, don't they? But it was interesting, this sort of thing. You know, are you happy to with the changes to the match review process? 93 point something said yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so the coaches like it even if the public aren't convinced.
That's right.
Interesting.
Now, we're going to speak with our celebrity tipster after the break, but I'll just sort of quickly give a bit more information of the field of women, the 2018 field of women, which is we talked to Matt about. You can go to bcna.org.au for your ticket, and for $59 you get your participation in the event, you get a ticket to the game, you get a commemorative backpack, including pink poncho and key ring. So it's well worth it.
Hi, I'm Jason Ball, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Jason Ball. You are listening to Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Beck. I'm here with Bree and Motti. Now, last week we started a new segment, which is Celebrity Tipsters, and we have a...
No, we don't.
Well, we'll try and get our celebrity tipster back online. Something's happened with the lines, but...
With the matriarch of Adelaide's famous footballing family.
Maybe she's bumped into Mark Ricciuto.
She might have.
All right, we're going to try the celebrity tipster again. Well, Bree thought maybe she got distracted by Mark Ricciuto, and that may well have been the case. But the celebrity tipster on the line is, in fact, my mother. Bring your mum to work day. Anne Dahl, welcome to Chicks Talking Footy.
It's my pleasure, girls.
I thought it would be.
Hi, Anne. It's Motti here.
Hi, Anne. It's Bree here.
Hi, girls. How are you?
Good.
Oh, great.
So, a lot of pressure. This is only the second ever round of Celebrity Tipster, but are you ready to go?
I'm good. It's actually a shame it wasn't today because normally I wait for Titus O'Reilly, but, I'm going at a line.
Well, we'll see how you go.
See how you go.
He might copy you.
Oh, yeah, he might, actually.
Yeah, truly.
All right. Yeah. Friday night, Etihad Stadium, the Bombers and the Saints.
Okay. Well, St Kilda would we say woeful? That may be the word. So I think with even having Jake Stringer, who would have thought was a success at Essendon, I'm going Essendon.
All right, excellent.
Well done, Anne.
I slagged off Jake Stringer earlier.
I'm going Essendon too, issue. Anne.
I'm going to go St Kilda in an upset.
Okay.
Did you know your daughter is very controversial and she normally takes the opposite opinion just to be like that? She's inflammatory.
Just to be... Yeah, well, I've had quite a few years of that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Saturday. MCG, Hawks and the Cats. What do you reckon, Mum?
Oh, game of the round.
Yes.
This was a struggle because obviously we've got Danger, Selwood and Ablett, but I think actually Hawthorn are finally hitting their strap, so I'm going for the Hawks.
Oh, I'm going for the Cats.
Fiona and Rachel will be very pleased.
They will.
Yep.
But I'm going for the Cats.
I'm going for the Cats.
All right. Metricon Stadium up on the GC, Gold Coast Suns and the Tigers.
Well, I suspect that Richmond were the grand final team like the Bulldogs, but they're not. They have proven to be the real deal. And I think even though they're not playing at the G, I think they will win.
We hate Richmond, remember, Mum?
I remember that.
Thanks,
Andal. Okay, all right. Adelaide Oval, and you've got to hurry up now, okay? Adelaide Oval, okay. Port and the Eagles.
That's another toss-up, but I'm going the Eagles.
Yeah, because we hate Port too, remember,
Mum? Yeah,
You can't pick Port, yep. Surely.
All right.
No.
Saturday night, Etihad Stadium, the Pies and the Lions.
Collingwood.
Okay. Yeah, I like them now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That actually could be a good game.
It actually could be.
Mm.
All right, then the big one, Mum, Saturday night, the Giants and our boys, the Crows. Mm-hmm. What do you reckon?
I actually think it's going to be close.
Okay.
I really do, but we've come back from quite a few injuries. They've got Jeremy Cameron back. I'm leaning GWS, but I'm not confident either way.
Where's your loyalty, mate?
And I'm loving your football knowledge. Keep going. Sunday games.
Sunday, Etihad, Kangaroos and the Bulldogs.
Ruse.
Okay, MCG, Demons and the Swans?
Melbourne, but not convincing win.
All right, and the last game over in Perth, the Dockers and the Blues. What a sad little game that is.
The Who Cares Cup.
Yeah, I know. It's Who Cares. Frio, because it's at home.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining us, Andal. Excellent celebrity tipping. If you're lucky, you might be back again one day.
Thank you, Anne.
Thanks, Anne.
Okay, thanks, girls.
Bye.
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 Now, thank you, Beck. Thank you, Bree. Thank you, Gazza.
Thank you,
Maddie. What a great show we've had. And stay tuned now for the Gender Agenda, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Go, Crows.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.